Just wanna bless your heart, Jesus. All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good to see so many masked faces. I was about to say smiling faces. I'm sure there's smiles underneath there, right? It is good to be together. You probably noticed this morning there's a bit of a change. Things are being done a little bit differently this morning than what is the norm. We wanted to try something a little different. And so with that, I want to thank Rock for playing the piano for us, leading us. Really appreciate you for that. I want to thank Jeanette Kate for recommending that song by Carnes. It really speaks to my heart. I want to thank Tammy. I'm going to thank you for welcoming us and leading us in that way. I want to thank Shane. Shane was here this morning. Well, he's here, and so when I show up bright and early, and so he was helping me with some things, and so Shane, thank you for being a part this morning and helping me out. And then also to Andy back there on soundboard, slides, and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've often thought, I mean, Andy's one of those that the more you don't notice him, the better job he's doing. I've said that before. And so, Andy, if we'd never notice you, I mean, that just is awesome, right? No. And so we do want to say thank you because you're back there each week, and we're so thankful, and you do such a good job. Let me also give a shout-out to Hope. And with that, I'm sure she's ready for some kids, and we have some here this morning. And so if you are a young one, and by young, I mean you're little bottom can fit into one of those tiny little chairs in the classroom, then you are dismissed, released, free to go. And I see a few of them here, so and run and be happy. Yes. Oh, so excited to see Wally this morning. Wally and friends. All right. Well, you ladies have a wonderful time. For the rest of us, let me invite you to turn, if you have your Bible with you, or a pew Bible, page 685, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 25 through 34 this morning. Before we go there, though, the song we heard this morning by Cody Carnes, titled Nothing Else, I think it speaks, I believe it speaks to that reality that is true for each one of us. Carnes himself, speaking of the lyrics, he says this, he says, quote, "Nothing else is a song about returning to what really matters." He said, "Nothing else is a song about returning to what really matters." He goes on to say, "It came out of a moment when I realized my heart had wandered. The season leading up to that moment of writing this song was full," he said, "of frustration, unmet expectations, and disappointments." What I think is a reality that is true really for each one of us, right? We at different times, but we all at times experience, right, that season, as he calls it, of insecurity, of uncertainty, wondering and worrying. Right, we all experience then that frustration and that unmet expectation and that disappointment. which I think makes the words of Jesus found here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 so to the point. So really precise, and not only precise, but I think really personal. Now, a quick side note, after listening to this song last week, this passage of scripture came to my mind. This passage here in Matthew 6 came to my mind. And so that's why we're landing on this passage here this morning. But what I didn't know, but what was interesting was, and I didn't know this until later, this is the exact passage that is also central to Carnes in his writing this song. In fact, he writes, "Now that I'm putting Matthew 6, 30 through 33 to practice in my life, I find my heart fully at rest." And so in a way, it was kind of one of those moments of, you know, a little bit of tingle, you know, that the moment of confirmation that yes, and partly because for me, it's precisely because behind the kind of closed doors of my own heart and mind, I've been experiencing a lot of that uncertainty. And with it, the insecurity. I've been having a lot of that kind of wondering and worrying. And like Cody, the disappointment and the unmet expectations, the frustration. And so perhaps in many ways, as I was preparing, this message was really just for me. But I probably think not. I think each one of us at different times, we enter into these seasons. And so I imagine Cody and I are not alone. And so Matthew 6, picking it up, we read, "Therefore," right? Jesus speaking here, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." And see, so Jesus opens this line, verse 25, with this word, "therefore," which is really a way of linking us back. And so what Jesus is doing is he's saying, "Therefore," linking us back to verses 19 through 24, what comes just before, and linking it to what he is about to say. And at the heart of 19 through 24, just real quickly here, there is this kind of a juxtaposition between what are called treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, followed by what is this Hebraic idiom for the eye, signifying the eye as an expression of how we are to relate to others, noting the good eye, or what is called the healthy eye in some translations, is an orientation, a way of generosity. And the evil eye, or the unhealthy eye, is a way of greed. And at the heart of this, Jesus says, in essence, then, don't store up for yourselves, right, money, possessions, truth, right, stuff here on earth. Don't orient yourself toward getting, but rather store up treasures in heaven. Not for when you die, but right here and right now. Right here, store up treasures in heaven. In other words, orient your life toward giving. Right, orient your life, structure your life in such a way that you are rich, not in possessions and stuff, but in good deeds. Be rich in a willingness to share. And then here Jesus continues, "Therefore," meaning with all of that in mind, he says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Now, a couple of things to note here. First off, the word translated worry here is merim now. Think about merim now as that thing that is troubling you, right? This sense of worry, that thing that is troubling you, that thing that is kind of holding on, that thing that is kind of maybe pushing you under, that thing that is maybe holding you back. That's something that weighs heavy on you. Noting also that in the Greek, it is not speaking here of a one-off, right? This is not an isolated moment of worry. It's not an episode of worry. We all have those moments, right? When we feel frustrated, when we feel troubled, when we feel kind of weighed down and burdened. But this speaks of a pattern, an ongoing pattern. What is, as Carnes puts it, what is a season, we could say, of worry? And Jesus, he speaks into that, and he says, I tell you, do not worry, do not merit now, right? Do not meditate on, do not focus on, do not carry this ongoing attitude, this orientation, right? Do not agonize. And then he goes on to say about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So here he basically says, do not worry. And then he kind of puts it into two categories, right? He says, do not worry about your life, right? Suche in Greek. And do not worry, he says, about your body, soma in Greek. Suche can be translated life, or we think of the soul, kind of the life force, the kind of inner life, the life that is you, the you that is you, we could say. Soma, translated as body, it carries this idea of the structure of an organism. And so we can think of bones and skin and ligaments and tissue and muscle. And in that sense, then we get this idea, right? It's the fullness he's speaking here. Do not worry about the fullness of you that is you within this body that you inhabit. And Jesus says, yeah, about all of that, do not merim now, right? Do not be preoccupied. Do not ruminate. Do not focus. Do not place your energy and your effort on what you will eat or drink or on what you will wear, right? Do not be consumed by the stuff of this life. Money, stuff, possessions. Life, Jesus says, is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And then Jesus, he begins speaking of birds and flowers. He makes this kind of nice, lovely transition to birds and flowers, kind of creating this imagery of word pictures. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And then verse 30, he wraps it up. He says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, as with any imagery, as with any analogy, we have to kind of be careful about making too much of it, about reading too much into it. At the same time, I don't want to be necessarily dismissive of kind of digging around in the dirt, no pun intended, but digging around in the dirt here. But Jesus is really, I think, getting after really namely one thing here. He's not saying that bad things never happen to birds and to flowers. He's not saying that everything in life is always going to be rosy. He's not saying that we don't have to work or labor for anything. He is saying that worrying about all that, right? Merim now, being focused, oriented, preoccupied, consumed with what we will eat or drink or what we will wear, simply it will not add a single hour to your life. In other words, it will not accomplish one thing. In fact, in one sense, if there's anything more that we can take from these kind of word pictures, it's that life is fragile. Right? Life is fragile, and to be quite honest, all we have is this moment. This moment right here in the presence of one another, in the presence of God. We could even say here today and gone tomorrow. It's Psalm 103. We read there, the life of mortals, meaning you and me, is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. And in that sense, then, if we jump to verse 34, the end of this passage this morning, the last line is what R.T. France calls an additional saying. And yet it is the wisdom that has bested all of time, bested all of millennia. And it's often one of those, it's kind of like this maxim that we use often in our contemporary world, essentially saying, live one day at a time. Right? Live one day at a time. Live 1 hour at a time. Live one moment at a time. Olive, I think, then begs the question, well, okay, then how shall we live? Right? What are you saying here? Noting Jesus kind of repeats then. He sums up his analogy, his word pictures. Verse 31, again, he says, so do not worry, Miriam, now. Do not be anxious about, focused on, oriented toward, consumed with what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. For the pagans, and that's not a pejorative here, it can be translated Gentiles, or probably more specifically as nations. It refers to those who are not Jews. And Jesus says, they run after all these things. And again, we can think food, drink, clothing, but not only that, money, stuff, possessions. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, and I don't know about you, but I appreciate the but here. Because it's one thing to say, do not worry. Right? It's one thing for somebody to say, well, just don't worry about that. Well, okay, well, what does that look like? What do you mean, don't worry? Okay, well, that's nice. But what in the world does that mean? What should I be doing? And Jesus then speaks to this. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Which really continues then the contrast, the juxtaposition. In fact, there's a bit of a wordplay going on here, noting in verse 32, we read for the pagans, right, Gentiles, nations, epizeteo, translated run after, and then verse 33, but zeteo, which is translated seek after. Noting that the word zeteo here comes to us in the present imperative, which brings this idea of a kind of a constant preoccupation, carries this idea of be seeking, seek and keep on seeking, be seeking and be seeking and be seeking. All of which leads the scholar R.T. France to write this. He says, the language of priority, which underlies verses 19 through 24, is now again made explicit by the call to make it your priority to find God's kingship and righteousness. The verb zeteo echoes the stronger compound verb epizeteo, which was used for the Gentiles' quest for material provisions. Disciples, by contrast, have a different orientation, a higher purpose in life. And in ways, I think, then similar to Paul in our study in 2 Corinthians, the kind of contrasts that we've seen from Paul. And in a similar way here, Jesus is doing the same thing, right? There's this way of life, this approach, this attitude, this orientation that is all about running after money, stuff, possessions, right? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. A life that is focused, preoccupied with, consumed by all these things. A life that begins to then constrict under the pressure. And if that doesn't tell us something, according to the Bureau of Standards, a dense fog, and I shared this, I think, about 4 years ago, so I pulled it out. According to the Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. I mean, just sit with that for a moment. A dense fog. And you know what a dense fog can feel like, right? Covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet, composed of something less than 1 glass of water. Nightingale then writes, if all the things most people worry about were reduced to their true size, you could put them all into 1 glass too. In fact, according to Nightingale, he does speak to this. He says 40% of the things we worry about will never occur. He says 30%, for a number of reasons, can't ever be changed. 10% of the stuff is petty and miscellaneous. He says only 8% of what we worry about is considered legitimate. In short, he says 92% of worry is pure fog with no substance at all. There's a story. It's of a doctor. He was paralyzed and bedridden, but also outrageously cheerful. He had such a radiant smile that when people would come to visit with him, to meet with him, they got to feel sorry for him. Even his own children adored him. And one day when his son was getting ready to leave home, ready to move out and kind of face the stuff of life. Dr. Greatheart said, "Johnny, the thing to do, my lad, is to hold your own end up and to do it like a gentleman. And please remember, the biggest troubles you have got to face are those that never come." Right? Jesus says there is that way of running after. There's that way of running after. Miriam now, right? Focused, preoccupied, consumed, full of worry, much of which is pure fog. Much of which is pure fog, and most of which never even happens. And he says there is a way of life, an approach, an orientation, an attitude that is all about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? A kingdom, a path, a way that all throughout the scriptures says it's here and now in Jesus. This kingdom, this righteousness, it's not out there somewhere. It's right here and right now in our midst. To put it in context of our song this morning, it's found whenever we return to the start, opening up our hearts to God. It's found whenever we let go of our agendas, remembering that, yes, He is enough. It's whenever we proclaim nothing else will do. Nothing, Jesus, but you. And the question is, like it was for Cody Carnes then, which one do we choose? Which one do we go after? What are you running after? Is it treasures on earth? Is it treasures in heaven? Am I running after the things of this earth, all these things? Right, we could even ask, am I oriented toward all these things or toward the kingdom? Toward a kingdom that says, nothing else will do. Nothing, Jesus, but you. Am I oriented toward all these things or toward the kingdom? We could ask it like this, what is getting first priority? What is getting first priority in my life? We could ask, what is of first importance? And what is getting first priority? What is of first importance in my life? To use the words of Carnes, we could ask, am I living the way of nothing else? Am I living this way of nothing else? And then with that, I think we need to ask, what would it look like for me to seek nothing else during those times when I am feeling worried or anxious or troubled or burdened? In those moments, what would it look like? Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.